Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. And welcome to P4P Real Talk. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Kalen?
Like a Mack truck over your bogus question that I should be stepping on.
Oh, my goodness. We can't even get through the promo without Kalen falling apart tonight. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desperate Fletcher, and he is Kalen. I'm a little salty Patterson, and we are P4P Real Talk. Go ahead, buddy. Tell our listeners how you're really feeling tonight. Go ahead. Just put it on out there.
Girlfriend,
Here's what happened. Here is what happened. It was just a simple thing, having a little pre-show prep with our very awesome guest tonight, and all I did was ask him which P4P protein flavors has he tasted, has he tried. The next thing you know, Kalen Patterson is over there popping a shirt button because I asked a simple question. Now, come on, folks. You know that we need to know answers to these types of questions. That's some real talk right there. Right there. That's what that is. So now that I've cleared that up, Kalen, are you having a good night tonight?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And you know why I'm having a good night? Because I still got my piece of frozen snickerdoodle. So, no.
Awesome. And you know what else is awesome? We had an awesome show on Tuesday night. And if you guys missed it, we had Miss Chelsea Hudlin on. And she was talking to us about her brain and spinal surgeries that she's had and just the different issues that she's been dealing with, but yet she's still been overcoming. She's competed a couple times on the pro stage, bikini pro stage, since she's been tackling some of these issues, and she's prepping for her first powerlifting meet. So you know what? Just cheering on Chelsea, and check out the archives if you guys missed that one earlier this week.
You know, that was a show that really threw a lot of the listeners off, and they were really happy with, you know, the thing that she's going, but I really think it caught them a lot off guard by understanding that, you know, she was going to have this ongoing. And I was really blown away with the positive responses that we got. But a lot of people were questioning, you know, is this going to get worse? Is this going to be debilitating? And, you know, just the outreach was really, really heartfelt. But, you know, I think they thought there was going to be a better outcome. And I think that, you know, this is something that we as a society need to address, that, you know, everything doesn't end the way we want it to, but it does end for the best and for the best that can be possible. And we need to be able to relate and understand beyond just that happy moment, that good feel, you know, like Hollywood type ending. We have to understand that, you know, life is real, and it's a challenge for us all. And if we don't find that way to get through our challenges, our personal challenges, then we very seldom understand a person like Chelsea and how much deeper that goes.
Yes, well said. I mean, and it's not that she has a totally unhappy ending, but, you know, she is in a situation where the outcomes of her surgery are she's going to be dealing with them for the rest of her life. She still is leading a very full life. It's just not going to be pain-free and perfect like I think our listeners were hoping it would be for her. So anyway, I digress, we digress. But it was a good show, so I did want to bring that up. But tonight, we are poised. I'm having trouble with words, Kalen. We are poised for another good show.
It'll all get better.
He was. It'll all get better. he was our guest for our number one show of 2016 and is gracious enough to come back. It's been a whole year since the formation of the WPA was announced, and we're going to get the deets on what's been going on and what's new and what athletes can expect. So, Mr. Kareem Pettaway, I'm sorry, I need a glass of water here. Please say hello to our listeners and give a little introduction of yourself.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kareem, Remo Pettaway. More affectionately, most people know me by Remo. I'm the president of the World Physique Alliance and also the co-chairman of International Pro Elite, our pro division.
Awesome. And so why don't you just begin by telling us a little bit about what the WPA is, how you guys got formed, and how it fits into the whole, IPE picture.
So the World Physique Alliance was started basically to try to create some unity between and where possible with other national organizations. It was also started to have some philanthropy aspects to it in regards to giving back to the community, whether it's through education, seminars, or by partnering with other organizations, such as like the Wounded Warrior Project and other different charities that look at helping with childhood obesity, that type of thing.
Okay, that can lead us right into our first question. And this is from, you get the first Leonidas that ever sent us a message. Leonidas. He wants to know about the is the military option for the WPA going to be an ongoing thing, or is that just for the rollout for the WPA?
It will be an ongoing thing. We'll offer the military, police, and firefighter divisions at all of the shows this year. So anyone who's active, retired, or from either the military, police, or with any of the firefighter service divisions can participate in this class. I'm not sure if you guys ever seen the medals that we have, and they basically incorporate all three of those into the medals that we give away, and then we choose a charity from each one of those divisions to give money to.
Okay. So just to clarify, this is basically part of the foundation of the rollout for the WPA. This is not something that's going to end in 5 years. This is basically for the rest of the duration.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. He says thanks a lot, and this is Sparta. This dude, yeah, this dude. All right. Yeah, we get some winners. But, I'm making fun of you, Leonidas, because that's just above and beyond. But anywho, Sam would like to know what's going on with Samuel would like to know what's going on with Fred, and how's he doing?
Oh, Fred's actually doing better now. Few people may know he had a little he had an injury while he was training, and so he's been going through rehabbing that. So I actually spoke to him early this morning, so he's doing a lot better now. He's not on crutches or anything, but he's feeling pretty good.
Very good. And for those of you who aren't familiar, they're talking about Fred Rolette, who was the former president of the NANBF, which is now been handed over to Katie Wayman White, who we're looking forward to having on the show here at a future date. So good to hear that Fred is recovering and doing well. So it's been a whole year since the WPA has been in existence. What kind of growth have you seen, and what are some of the things that you're looking forward to in 2017?
So for last year, being as though it was the first year and having been the president of part of another organization, previously I was the president of OCB. So I think that we had a pretty good inaugural year. One thing that I, particularly enjoyed is that the presence in the WPA pretty much had a presence when it was first launched. It was in a situation where, no one really knew what the organization was, even though it's still in its infancy and it still has to grow and, more continued outreach is needed, which we will continue to do. But within its first year, it had an impact, and most people knew about the existence of the organization. For 2017, we were continuing the path that we were following last year, you know, taking lessons learned from things that we did and try to improve upon them. So, for instance, pretty much all of the WPA shows this year are all held in theaters. They're not held in high schools. The Eastern Regionals will be held at the Gordon Center for Performing Arts. The Sword of the Titans will be held at the Modlin Center for Performing Arts down in Richmond. The Nationals will be held at the Prince George's Sports and Learning Complex, which is a huge facility. It actually has a water park inside of it, a gym. Like, it's a massive facility. Yeah, it's across from the Washington Redskins Stadium. And that's where we'll look to have Mass Weekend this year. So last year we had Mass Weekend. It was in April in Tyson's Corner, and, you know, across all the different disciplines, we had 645 athletes. We had powerlifting, weightlifting. We had strongman, strongwoman. We had CrossFit, et cetera. And we'll be looking to bring that to the table. But this year will be August the 19th, held along with WPA Nationals as well as the IPE League of Champions. Other things that we're looking a couple other things we're looking to do is continue to bring more exposure to the athletes. You may see through all of our social media where we're, you know, pulling and tying in, you know, the stories of the athletes. We have articles on the website now that talk about, you know, ways of dealing with managing, you know, staying fit and healthy along with your family, stuff like that. Some recipes out there, some ways to help to keep your kids fit. So that's one thing that we have on our site that I don't think I've seen with any other natural organization or otherwise that incorporates those type of articles that focuses on those. And then the other thing that I'm excited about that we'll be doing is in partnership with Mono Solo Productions, this weekend we're having a casting call, which hopefully Ms. Desiree will come down for. And it's basically a docuseries on natural bodybuilders and dating. So if anyone's out there who's, you know, into the lifestyle and they're single, they know the challenges, right, that they run and face with dating, you know, fellow competitors or people who don't compete, right? Some pretty hilarious situations can come up in that, and we'll be capturing that and sharing that with the world.
I tell you, dating just in general is no joke, dude. No joke. But anyway, I digress. That's something for a different show. Kalen, you had a question.
Yes. A lot of people were really intrigued about the Marshall and Rico get-together for that seminar, and they were really blown away. And is that something you plan on doing so people can recognize basically the guys that are basically holding it down right now for the natural industry? Because, you know, they are big names to us. And I agree, like you said, when we were in Kansas City, they should be big names to everybody. Is that something that you've just sparked and just want to run with? Or is that something that's going to be like a seasonal thing?
Something we're going to run with. You know, those guys are very well known. When we actually were filming the promo portion of that, you know, a lot of people who saw Rico or Marshall recognized them, even if they didn't know them and wanted to take pictures with them and stuff like that. So, yes, we are going to duplicate that. We're going to do something a little different. I try to cover, you know, areas and provide things that weren't provided when I was first coming up, you know, as a competitor, and to where I see that there are gaps in education or things that people are doing. So, you know, while some things that people do or they bring to the forefront are worthwhile and they're educational and they're helpful, it kind of starts to be the run-of-the-mill thing, and sometimes it comes into a thing where people are just trying to do what they see others doing. But I'm trying to actually say, hey, here's a problem, right? And then how do we resolve that problem, or how do we make things better, or how do we raise the bar? So on April the 8th, we're having another seminar. This one will be in the Richmond area, so folks that are down in the Richmond area, even in the D.C. area and Tidewater area, will be able to participate. And we'll have Marshall, we'll have Rico, we'll have Nicole King down there, and we'll have a few other people. And what we'll do in this seminar is focus on the competition diet aspect. So what we'll do is we'll have examples of different forms of dieting, traditional dieting, flexible dieting, keto, and even vegan. And we'll walk through those, which I've never really seen done before, like in a seminar or open forum, right, where people can have these different types of dieting styles addressed. And then we'll have a part where we'll focus on sports rehab and maintaining the body. So, you know, Marshall is 56 years old. I'm 44. Rigo's 45. I think he'll be 46 later on this year. And these guys are at the top of their game. And other things start to come in play over time, right, as far as, like, making sure that your body stays fine-tuned. And that's where Nicole will come into play in regards to sports rehab. And we'll discuss, you know, massage, you know, therapy, you know, different types of things that are out there now, like cryo, et cetera, and ways to keep your body healthy and fit, you know, as the duration of, you know, you're looking at this as a lifetime, right? So I don't plan on competing anymore right now, I should say. But when I think about long-term health, right, and, you know, you're constantly banging on your body and your joints and tendons, they start to wear down. And some people, it may be genetic and it may affect them earlier in life and some others further on. So we'll address that. And then we'll go into the posing aspect of it. Rico, as you know, right now is a promoter with the PNBA, and, of course, I'm a promoter for WPA and IPE. We'll go through the posing of what each of our organizations are looking for. And we'll also go into aspects of stage presence and actually, you know, performance of routines, et cetera, and transition. So, you know, a lot of times, like if you've seen Rico, he's a very graceful poser, right? He knows
yes.
how to show off his body in the best way possible. And some of the things that people miss when they're doing posing, et cetera, is like, you know, transition of posing, of being fluid in motion and also having that confidence on when they're doing their routines that also accentuate and, you know, cross over into being on stage and having and feeling comfortable. So we'll do all of that and then basically have everybody to work out together and just have a really good time after that. So this is something that I'll continue to bring all throughout the year, and they'll probably all have a different theme behind them, but covering gaps that I feel as though that aren't covered by other organizations.
Now, can you go ahead and repeat the date and location for the seminar you were just talking about and let people know where they can get more information?
I'll put it out on through our newsletter and through our Facebook site. So we just got confirmation of the venue, which will be a Gold's Gym down in Richmond, Virginia, and that will be April the 8th. So I'll have all the details and everything out by this weekend.
Okay, sounds good. And I think you partially answered this question, but Blanche wants to know if you're going to have any women headlining your seminars in the future. So Nicole's going to be playing a major role in this next one,
yes.
more about the physical health. But any other gals going to be headlining this year?
Tanya Penaluso, we will be there. Waiting for confirmation from whether Kawana Crockett can make it or not. And also for this one, Nicole Carrasco will be there as well.
And then Kyle's chiming in, and he wants to know how many seminars you have planned for 2017 and where they will be if you already have your calendar set.
We're still trying to solidify all the dates. And make sure that we have availability for everyone throughout the year. A lot of it is based upon, you know, competition schedules and stuff like that in areas where we have a presence. So right now, those are the only that's the only other date where we are planning to have something in the Northeast area, probably up near the Maine area, and then another one in the Philly, New Jersey area later this year.
Okay, cool. So I think that ties in with Samantha's question. She's wanting to know if the headliners will be regional, which is probably still working out. But
yeah, the headliners will mostly be regional based upon areas where we already have, you know, athletes and that they have a presence. You know, it's very important as far as, like, getting people out to these different events and try to make them as available as possible, but that in areas where that it definitely makes sense to do it.
Okay, great. And then Lisa, I'm going to take a jump back for this one, but she wants to know more about the casting call and where she can find out more information about that.
For the casting call, if they go to our Facebook page, World Physique Alliance, or you go to our, if you go into FitSquid, it's fitsquid.com, FITSquid.com. You'll be able to see the event that's coming up this weekend and where they can register for that.
Gotcha. So are you trying trying out for the casting call, or you're helping to coordinate so you don't qualify?
I'm helping to coordinate.
I just want to know.
I tend to stay behind the scenes on these things nowadays. So. Well, I'm going to know a lot of people. We played on a drama series called Anacostia. It was actually won a daytime Emmy, and I had a role on that. And I've also produced some things before in the past. But again, I usually try to stay behind the scenes and like executive produce a lot of.
No way. Well, you know, you're going to have to give us a little bit of bigger picture of what you're just saying there. You can't just throw it out there and then switch topics on us. So let's talk about your, and then we'll get back to WPA. But tell us more about your acting and producing career here. Now I'm intrigued.
Any questions about that?
Well, Anacostia is based on, where I grew up in D.C. in the southeast area, so it's based off of in that environment, and I played a character called Creco on there in the first season. And then, I left and went on and did my own thing after that. I produced a drama series called Beyond City Limits, and that involved, five different kids with special abilities. And that's why I kind of cut my teeth on writing and producing a lot of different things. So over the course of time, there are a lot of different projects and things that we've put out or things that you've seen, and I just kind of try to stay behind the scenes. I don't like to be in the forefront of different things that I'm working on. I want to give other people their time to shine, and that's why I probably feel more comfortable at these days.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah, and that ties in perfectly with what they're saying, because I've really three of them. I'll just give the names and then I'll give a breakdown of what they're saying. Brenda, Sam, and Kylie. Oh, it's Kyle again. Okay, he just mispronounced. So they're all saying they had no idea that natural bodybuilding was so diverse, and you being the head of this, you can probably speak on that diversity a lot better than Des and I.
Yeah, it is very diverse. I'm probably more of a visionary and an executioner. So when I was being the former president of OCB, a lot of the direction and things that were implemented and that are even being implemented today were my visions that had been brought to bear. For IPE and both WPA, I tend to still be more of the visionary there as far as concept, as far as ways that I think that the organization can grow. We have a much tighter integration with the NAMBIT and our affiliates now, and brought on quite a few more people into the organization who are continuing to grind that. Bring more to the organization, so I'm really, really excited about this year. Also, the WPA now has a more formal structure where we have several directors. We have two directors who are in charge of making sure that all the judging folks are up to snuff and that they're certified and cover that area. Ryan Franklin is our director of production. The two directors in regards to judging are Kawana Crockett and Lauren Durham, and for our secretary is Jennifer Beckett. So we now have more of a formal structure. We have a director of operations who is Artie Benty Hall, and he'll be responsible for making sure that all the operational things are taken care of and all the shows for the year. So we have much a tighter integration and a stronger team this year set out to great and do great things.
I find that very intriguing that you have someone who is over judging and developing that aspect of your organization. If someone were interested in judging from WPA, what does that criteria look like? And would they have had to have been a WPA athlete, or what's the criteria that you're looking for in judges?
So they have to attend a judges certification clinic, and they have to get an 85% passing score on the exam, and it's a live proctored exam, and it goes over all of the requirements and things that involved in regards to our criteria. So they need to be knowledgeable about that, and then they need to test judge at a show before they can be certified to judge. Now, if it's someone who's been a long-standing judge who's judged with the organization prior, I mean that, you know, they may have judged with, say, like the NAMDETH or anything like that, they still have to go through the certification process, but they don't need to test judge prior to that. And then there are also additional steps that we have in place, the same as the NAMDETH, before you can become a head judge. And so and that's where we put everything at. So what generally happens is, you know, I'll have people now say, hey, can you come judge my show? And it'd be for another organization. Now, I've been around for, you know, been in bodybuilding since 2000, right? So it's been about 17 years I've been actively in the sport. So someone say, hey, Remo, I need you to judge my show. And I'm like, cool. But what happens is, you know, each organization has some differences between how they judge their shows. So I believe the WNBF, I believe it's their women's physique competitors or one of their divisions, they wear heels, and they may look for women to be a little softer in regards to figure. And then we may have a look where we want women to be a little harder. Now, if I were to go and judge one of their shows, I might judge to my standards because I'm not taking a look at what your criteria is, right? I'm going to just showing up. Hey, I've been in the game 17 years, right? I can judge. But that's where you start to see, like, you know, a lot of mismatches. You start seeing a lot of inconsistencies in the judging because all the judges aren't on the same page. And I'll give an example. When you introduce a new class, you know, bikini, hey, okay, now we're having bikini this year. Now, none of these judges have ever judged bikini before when you first introduce the class, and you sit them in front of a whole, you know, stage full of bikini competitors, and the judges aren't on the same page. They're all judging differently, right, because more than likely they're probably looking at a bridge between, like, a figure competitor and a bodybuilder, right? So you need to make sure that everybody's on the same page if you want athletes to be judged fairly. And being as though all of us on this phone are athletes and have competed before, you know, the last thing you want to do is spend, you know, X amount of time, you know, preparing for a show, putting your heart and soul in this, and then being up on stage and not being judged fairly. So essentially it puts the onus on the judges to say, hey, you need to take ownership for before you sit down at this table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, I can really applaud that because I've actually, you know, seen that firsthand, and it really hurts, especially when they find out, you know, after the post show party, that I made the mistake, because not many are going to admit that, and it's you know, it's too late anyway because that moment's gone. One of the things that I wanted to get back on was the different classes, because you know we do have a lot of organizations running around. And I'm trying to make sure that I'm going to ask this right. This is from Sandy, and she wants to know the criteria. Does it happen where you can have the person that wins bikini can win figure?
Well, not in any
roster.
Well, you can't cross over from bikini to figure, so that wouldn't happen at one of our shows.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not allowed.
Because that has happened.
Yeah, I think in some other organizations it's allowed. It's not allowed in our organization, though.
Okay, that makes sense to me, yes. Okay, the other one was the criteria. It's in a link. Can you give that?
The link, the criteria?
Yeah, for where they can go to research.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's on worldphysiquealliance.com, and they just will go under the criteria link.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it specifically says what you know, what divisions can't cross over. That was one of the other things we did is that, you know, over time when I see that, you know, people have particular questions to things, I try to make it as easy as possible for them to get their information. So while sometimes people might say, well, what does my membership get me, or what is the drug testing guidelines, or how are your classes broke down, or, you know, what does debut class mean, et cetera. If you go to our site, everything on that page is pretty much spelled out. It shows with, you know, membership, drug testing. It shows you the bikinis. It actually describes which each of them means, like, you know, teen, debut, masters, open, et cetera. We have a video that has, like, an actual prejudging from a show. We tell you what's permitted, what's not permitted, the type of suits, et cetera. We tell you what goes through in each one of the rounds, like round one, round two, round three, and what those poses consist of and what the judges are looking for. We also tell you what classes, as far as like height or weight classes, how ties are broke, how you qualify for nationals, and how you earn your pro card, all on the same page. So if you go to bikini criteria or figure criteria or bodybuilding, it will tell you all of that on the same on the page.
And that's good. So everyone who's listening and is interested in competing WPA, go to that site and check it out. Most organizations have some degree of that sort of information on their sites. Go check it out before you even send in that registration. Go check it out. If you've sent in your registration, go check it out. Do your homework. Be knowledgeable about what you're getting into and what is expected at that particular show. And, you know, I think it'll just help your overall experience. So A+ on making all of that available. Can you also clarify right now where or what regions WPA competitions are, and if you are looking for promoters in other areas of the state?
Yes, we're
other
definitely
states,
still
I should say.
Yes, we are still definitely looking for more, you know, quality promoters or people that we can help, you know, shepherd through the process of promoting a show. So right now we're primarily on the East Coast, you know, Maine down through the D.C. metropolitan area, and looking forward to continuing to grow. When I say that we help the shepherd through the process, it's more of an end-to-end process. So where I feel as though that that others may have failed sometimes, that, you know, someone may reach out to someone and say, hey, you know, would you like to have a show? And the person says, yeah. And, you know, they find a venue, they put out their flyer, et cetera. But that person has never been through the whole end-to-end process of promoting a show. They don't know all the different caveats. They don't know all the different things that are involved. And we pretty much do a hand-holding process from the beginning all the way to the end, you know, helping them to find the venue, to secure insurance, to find judges for them, to find, you know, qualified polygraphers, to make sure that they have staff on hand who are very knowledgeable, that they have an experienced head judge, that, you know, even all the way down to understanding the mechanics of how, you know, ticket taking and security at a show, and making sure they have someone backstage qualified to take urine and, you know, to have the proper process in place for that. So it's a very, very end-to-end process for us, and we try to focus more on quality than quantity, and we also try to focus on our core mission and values. So our core mission and values, of course, is around the proliferation of drug-free sports, not how many people we can get to come to a show. So we our levels and our metrics are measured by, you know, hey, we had 300 people at a show, we had 400 people at a show. We judge ourselves by, hey, did we do the best that we could possibly do? Did we make this an optimal event for all of our athletes and for our vendors, and did everyone enjoy themselves? That's what we're focusing on. All the rest will come later.
Nice.
I completely agree with you. I'm sorry, Dennis.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Bill wants to know if your outreach is mainly targeted towards all competitors everywhere, or are you mostly just catering to, you know, competitors that are already in the WPA?
It's for everywhere. So an example would be the seminar that we had last weekend with Rico and Marshall there. Again, I stated before, Rico's a promoter for the PNBA, and we also had Tanya Lewis there, who was a promoter for the NGA. And so we've been working together, you know, collaboratively on several different things. And the next seminar, we're going to have Tanya Lewis from the NGA will be invited to that as well. And Rico and I would do some cross promoting there. It's our mission to work with other organizations where it's feasible. So we work very closely with the NFF, that's down in Texas, David Lee Nall's organization. and you can actually do an NFF show to qualify for IPE Worlds. You know, with our other affiliates, the UNBA in California, the NPAA up in Canada, we work very closely with those guys as well and make sure that we're all on the same accord. The NANBF is pretty much like our sister organization, and we always meet and make sure that we're all on the same page. So I generally talk to Fred and Katie and Ryan of the NANBF probably for like 5 or 6 times a week, believe in that. And we make sure that we do everything in parallel so that if you're doing a competition in one of our affiliate organizations, that all of the rules and regulations are the same, that you don't go to one show and, you know, be judged a particular way, or that their rules are this particular way, or their membership is, you know, one particular price and someone else is different, that they're mirrored across. And that's one way that we're hoping to bridge the gap between the different multitude of organizations.
Wow, that's great. Now, one of the things I was wondering, Kareem, because, you know, we had a chance, well, we've talked a lot, but and when we talked in person, you had a really nice vision about where you saw the natural community. And it sounded great, and it seems like a lot of it is falling through for you now. Has that actually grown now that these things are and all these innovations are coming about? Or, you know, are you still holding tight with that? Or, you know, how are you incorporating all these things where it still makes sense to everyone, including yourself?
You know, it's a slow, gradual process and making sure that, you know, we do things timely and that they're relevant, right? And over the course, you know, some things may change a little bit, but my core vision, you know, hasn't changed. One way that I've been able to continue to grow and to build relationships is just essentially the same thing that you said, which is, I guess, something that I find and hold dear to my heart, and like people probably don't realize it when they say it to me, is generally that when I speak to someone and I tell them something, the next time they see me, they'll usually, to me it's a compliment that they said, like what you just said, that I followed through on what I said. And that what people start to continue to define is that whenever I said something, right, or I say, hey, like, this is what I'm going to do, this is my vision, this is my passion, right, this is what I want to do, that they've seen me bring it to fruition and that I kept my word, and integrity is very big with me. So, you know, last year, you know, the organizations, you know, last year was a rough year for bodybuilding in general, right? But what kind of pulled us through is that we maintain that integrity. So unbeknownst to most people, especially the pro division grew last year. While people may have thought that, you know, that we had ran into some type of issues or anything like that, that actually wasn't true. We actually grew last year. We increased our membership, as we always have, continuously upwards. And now with the more positive direction that we have this year, you know, I feel really good about that. And I say this in another interview previously, though, but, you know, through all of that different turmoil, et cetera, pretty much everyone in our end just stayed focused, right? You didn't hear anything negative come from any of the promoters in any of our organizations. We just kept our head down and just focused on what we do best. We put on very good quality shows, and we focus on the athlete, and we focus on growing the business of the sport. And that's what our key focus is, and that's the only thing that we focus is. We stay, you know, beeline on that, right? Like laser vision. It was almost like Cyclops, like from the X-Men, just like pulling his glasses off, right? Like this is where my beam is going, right? And that's the only place that I'm going. I don't see nothing else, right? So it was like tunnel vision, and that was something that that I was very proud in to say of all the promoters within our organization that kept the sport really tight. So one of the other things I guess I want to talk about a little bit is the changes in the sport, right? So last year, at least from what I saw, if your show wasn't before May, most organizations saw a drop in numbers last year. And that wasn't just across natural bodybuilding. That was across non-tested sports organizations as well, right? Some people saw record lows as far as turnouts for athletes last year. Part of it was the oversaturation of shows, but also a change in the sport. So I look at trends, I look at metrics, I try to see, hey, what are the contributing factors to these type of things happening? and it's a big paradigm shift in the sport. So when I first got into the sport, it was only fitness, men's bodybuilding, and women's bodybuilding. And then, you know, it bridged over and started adding figure and then bikini, you know, et cetera. And right now, the pool of athletes is the much younger generation. They're the generation of millennials. They're very visual. These athletes tend to not compete as often as we did. So, for instance, like Kaylin, as a bodybuilder knows, you know, we would just bang and bang and bang, and like every show, you know, you're off of blood, right? you're just thinking, like, how are you going to get better? And, like, you know, it takes years and years to get to that. And more of the athletes today, I feel as though, look for, like, instant gratification, right?
Yes,
I know that, like, Instagram and Facebook, et cetera, you know, is very visual, and people aren't standing next to other people, and they're looking for, again, instant gratification. And when they don't get that, they tend to shy away from the sport, or you may see them move from one organization to another organization. So how do we address that in the future, right? How do we get people to realize that this is an actual sport? And that's where, you know, how I continue to do the format and some of the things I do in my show to try to keep people engaged and realize that this is a sport. So speaking with some of the other promoters before, I know that some shows now, one of the things that's becoming more popular is the straight-through format of shows. In some instances, it does make sense. If you have a smaller show, hey, you know, like, you know, it's no sense in dragging the day out all along. But what happens is you don't get that engagement like you used to get before. So people are coming just to see that person at the show. They're not coming for the sport. Like, if I go to a basketball game, I'm going to stay for the whole basketball game. If I go to a football game, people outside tailgating, they're enjoying the experience before the game even starts, right? Then they stay for the game, you know, et cetera, right? And this is pretty much the norm for every other sport except for bodybuilding. People just want to see, hey, you know, Desi, like, you're competing, I'm going to come, I'm going to see you get on stage, you leave, I'm out. You know, they're not staying there because they enjoy the sport. And before, when I first got into the sport, people would go through the show, and they would stay through the entire show. And at the end of the show, you would call everybody, hey, man, like, who won the show? And they would tell you every person who won the overall. Hey, man, I saw this guy. He looked great. He won the overall. His name was such and such. You know, this other woman, she looked fantastic. She won the overall at figure, you know, et cetera, right? And now it's like, you know, people don't even know who placed at a show. All they know is who their friend or who they ever they're to support came out, where they placed. So we're not embracing it as a sport. If we don't embrace it as a sport, then we're never going to grow.
That is so true.
It is very interesting. I'm still here listening, processing everything that you're saying, thinking of maybe we should start tailgating post or pre-show and offer lots of peanut butter.
I'd rather say there's going to be a lot of dry grilling out.
Anything we can do to get people engaged and, you know, get them to hang around. But, you know, that's how I formed a lot of these friendships. Like, a lot of us we've met each other from shows, you know, pretty much everyone that I spoke about, you know, who are part of the leadership of all these other different organizations have been around, have met, like, from competing, you know, against each other or, you know, at different shows and built those relationships. So I've even seen some shows now where they're broken up into men and women categories as separate shows. So what they're doing is having a show where it's just a male show for one part of the day and then a female show for the other part of the day. So all the male categories are one show and then it ends and then it's all female categories and that's another show, right, in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
You're splitting the audience because, you know, somebody's probably not going to pay to see one person and then stay and then pay to, again, to go to a separate show in the exact same venue within like a half an hour of each other. But you're also preventing those athletes from engaging with each other and getting to know each other and actually continuing to build the sport and the camaraderie, you know, which is, this is a male and female sport. You know, it's not a gender-specific sport.
That's true.
Yeah, that is. And I'm with you on that one. I mean,
Go ahead, Dad.
No, go ahead, Taylor.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, I have met, across the board, like Kareem has said, you're meeting everybody. And that's a big what draws the competitors to the different shows, because their friends are going to be there, you know. So that is a big concept and a big aspect of what's going on, and we do need to hold on to that because it is part of the foundation of what we're doing.
And
yeah,
plus it's
definitely
just the exposure, too, of having both sides, both genders, all of it all together as one. I mean, that's more unifying versus being diversive.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, those are different ideas of where I think that, you know, we need to better embrace the sport and find ways to get, you know, the younger generation engaged. You know, I do different things in my show to actually keep the crowd engaged, because most of the other people who are coming to support someone don't know anything about the sport. They're just there to support someone else. So you want to make it a fun, family-friendly environment for them as well.
Yes.
Cool. So what are some of those things
one
that you
of
do?
One have to think about, and I'm glad that Remo just talked about that and brought it up, is that a lot of people that attend the shows don't have an interest and never will have an interest in actual competing, but they are very good supporters of the sport, and we do need to address them as well. And I'm glad that you have taken that on in your ideology as well, because that's really important, because, you know, we have a lot of people that are in the background, and their job and what they encourage and what they love is from the background arena, not ever setting foot on stage.
Yep. And I think Desi was asking me some of the ways I get the crowd involved.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've done multiple things. I've done things where I've hidden, like, you know, bags under the seats within the auditorium. So then, like, going there, we might tell people to look up under their chairs, and then there'll be, like, you know, like gift bags, goodie bags under there, and then we'll have, like, special tickets in each one of them, and I've given away swords and shows to people in the crowd, et cetera, stuff like that. We've had, like, a spin wheel outside. We've had, like, different things on it to get people active. Like, you know, you spin it, and it might say, you know, do 10 jumping jacks, you know, do 5 push-ups, et cetera, and we gave away prizes that way. Another thing that we did before is actually had invited people to come up on the stage and hula hoop. We've had, you know, people to come up and kids to come up and hula hoop. And what I did was, for how many times that they, you know, or were able to spin the hula hoop, our organization and my company, Gym Lunatics, and I personally matched that per dollar. So, you know, we had 3 people on stage, and then they may have done, like, the hula hoop, like, 75 times, right? So the organization, Gym Lunatics, and then myself then matched that $75, which ended up being, what is that, like $225, and we gave the money away to a charity.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I like that. I like that creative thinking, and I like seeing just more and more coming out of our promoters for the fans and for the audience and for the athletes. So very nice.
And for the show in April, what we're looking to do is partner with a food bank and have people to bring in, you know, cans or non-perishable goods and give them a like a show T-shirt. And that way we'll then donate the money to one of the food banks in the Baltimore area, since that's where the show will be held.
Very cool. I like that. And you are seeing more philanthropy make its way into each of the shows, and I just think that's a very valuable thing, too, in building the connection with the community and just, you know, positioning the sport in a positive light. So thumbs up on that. Have a question for you from Brent. He wants to know if men can cross over from classic physique to bodybuilding.
For men passing over from classic physique into bodybuilding, like, currently they can, and this is the first year that all of us will be offering it. So the UNBA, the NAMBF, and WPA will all be offering men's classic physique, and then they'll be able to cross over into that.
Okay, very good. Hope you got that, Brent. And then Gwen wants to know more about your Gym Lunatics brand. Lunatics brand. I can't get any of it out right. Gym Lunatics brand. Tell us more.
So the Dim Lunatics brand actually was created. So one of the things I used to get feedback from a lot of natural athletes is that, you know, they gravitated a lot toward, like, you know, NPC competition, et cetera, because they felt as though they got more exposure and had the ability to get more sponsorships in that area, which may have been true, you know, earlier on, but, you know, in this day and time, I don't think that that continues to be true. But I started it actually only to sponsor athletes that competed within our organization. You know, at the time I was with OCB and you know, the former organization IPA, and I created it only for that. And I just had some mock-ups of shirts, and I had some different things from our organization, et cetera. But then it started to grow. So I started looking into manufacturing our own clothes versus just doing, you know, buying something from like a reseller or a screen printer, et cetera. And the company just continued to grow. So we've had booths at like the Europa. We've done stuff like the NBC Health and Fitness Expo. We have our clothing line on Amazon. So it's really taken off, and that's something that I'm happy about as well.
Cool. And do you have a Gym Lunatics website?
Yes, it's gymlunatics.com, and we sell a lot of premium. Premium fitness clothing. When I first started out, you know, I was getting clothing from like a like a screen printer. Like most people say, hey, I like these designs. You know, you purchase it, they ship it to you. So we actually started creating our own, and over time, you know, as I learned more and more about branding and clothing, et cetera, I just started to focus on very high-quality items. So most of our clothing, if they're like a T-shirt or something like that, it's like a tri-blend material, or it's a blend of like a cotton and polyester where it's breathable, that, you know, it keeps its shape, doesn't get really wrinkled, doesn't get really heavy, and it's built for your body to kind of like, most of the clothing is kind of fitted. And it looks great if you're wearing it like with jeans or anything like that, but you can also wear it in the gym, and it helps to keep you warm and dry.
Now, I gotta throw a shameless thing out there, because like I've had a chance to wear your stuff, and unfortunately with the car fire I lost all of it. But I can tell you, you need some ambassadors in the Midwest. You can hook me and Dez up. We'd be proud to honor that.
You heard it right.
There you go.
You got some years.
All right, Remo. We're getting to that stage of the show, so I'm gonna put it out here. And for anyone who caught us at the beginning of the show who wants to know what definitely one of the flavors of P4P whey protein he's tasted, All right. So now that I got that out of the way, out of my system, in 140 characters or less, Remo, why WPA?
Why WPA?
Let's have your elevator speech. Yep.
how many characters did I get again?
Oh, we'll give you 200. Instead of 140.
I would say, you know, integrity and doing what's in the best interest of the athlete in the sport.
Gotcha. Boom.
That's it.
I think you did that even less than 140 characters. You got it.
For clarity on that, it's when I say, like, in, you know, a lot of organizations, I see them say stuff like, you know, we do this for the athlete. It's about the athlete. It's about the athlete. I may get a little heat for this, but the organizations are still a business, right? So
yeah.
I give you an example. Like when people go to Nordstrom, right, or they go to Amazon, like Nordstrom is not a cheap place, right, at all. But why do people go there? People go there because they have the confidence that they're going to get very good quality, right? They're going to get very good customer service. And you pretty much, you know, you can bring almost anything back to Nordstrom, right, and they'll accept it, no questions asked. And you do it because you feel that confidence, right? You feel a certain way when you walk into Nordstrom. You feel a certain way when you walk out, and you just have a different experience than if you went and bought a pair of shoes from out of Walmart. So essentially,
that's for
you know,
sure.
Yeah. So essentially with our organization and our affiliates, we're trying to have a more consistent experience. feel that you feel like you're walking into a Nordstrom's right when you're stepping on the stage at one of our shows. Like, if you take a look at the things that Led Leaf are doing, or, you know, or John and Becky Arnold, or, you know, Katie Wayman White, or myself, or the UNBA, or, you know, Kevin and Wendy Ashby up in Canada, right? We provide a different experience for the athletes that I feel as though is unparalleled and that you're not going to get. One of the things I was actually in awe with myself when I went to Worlds last year is I got this huge, like, metallic cup with our logo on it and my name was on it, right, from Fred and Jan. And they actually did this for every athlete and all the judges. So
wow.
That type of – yeah, I was shocked. I was blown away. And, you know, this year, you know, we're looking to do a lot more things, you know, along that scale of personalizing things, of providing a better experience, you know, whether it's you're stepping on stage and the type of stage that you stand on. You know, like I said, we're doing things at performing arts centers, bringing, like, additional backdrops and things like that to the stage. We'll be having press conferences at several of our shows this year, red carpets for where the athletes register, that type of thing, right? So just providing a different end-to-end experience for the athlete.
Wow.
It all sounds good to me. Definitely. So definitely thank you. I just said definitely twice in like two sentences back to back. So thank you for joining Kaylin and I tonight.
Brain woman.
And filling us in on the WPA and the Gym Lunatics brand. And good luck with your casting call that's coming up this weekend. And everything else that you've got going on. And definitely do keep us in the loop because we want to know so we can let our listeners know.
Yes, indeed, and appreciate you both.
All righty. Have a great evening, my friend.
You too.
Thanks, Rainbow.
So another good organization on our tour of organizations that's got a lot going on. You know, the theme that I see consistently from organization to organization so far is that everyone is pushing to raise the bar. We've heard, you know, more than one organization talk about how 2016 was kind of a rough year. But everybody has come back with a vengeance, and they're ready. Yeah, in certain aspects it was. But they're all coming back with a vengeance, and they're ready to keep pushing the bar to make everything bigger and better than it was the year before, which, hey, is a win for all athletes as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And one of the things that I love, especially like you said, with the downtrend of last year, is that we're getting good, solid answers. No basically shifting, blaming, or basically deflecting. Everything's coming out with an answer that the competitors can know for sure, because that's really important. You know, without a sound foundation, what do you have to stand on? And what we're getting is basically the platform that works, not just something people want to hear and then getting double-dipped when they get to the arenas and the venues. So that's really nice to see. And like you said, you know, you and I have been to the different shows last year toward the later part of the year, and we got to see they were actually standing on what they said. So that's really important, especially for the many competitors that we have. And, you know, for the list, I didn't forget to answer your questions, but Remo was covering them so well that there was no point in basically doubling down on the questions he's already answered. So don't think Des and I were asking the questions. He was just already answering them before we could actually get them out there.
So thank you for still asking your questions and keep doing so. Next week we've got a full round of guests again, so please do join us and be watching our Facebook feeds for what's coming and when it's coming. Kaylin, Snickerdoodle shout out.
Coming. A picture of my snickerdoodle jug and posting it on the page just so folks know it's still out there.
Oh, I don't think they will ever forget, ever. On behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle.